You are listening to On The Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio.
Hello and welcome to On The Daily, Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, brought to you by RotoViz. My name is Matt, not Matt LaMarca, but I am an employee of the Action Network and Fantasy Labs. My name is Anthony Amico. You can find me on Twitter at Amixta. Matt is a little under the weather tonight, wasn't able to join us, but we still have Matt Jones. You can follow on Twitter at Matt Jones TFR, host of the Bogey Free Podcast, solid Fortnite player. We have one in a squads, Matt. So we can say that we are decent at that game.
My only victory in Fortnite ever.
How's everything going?
Good, good. We're firmly planted into dad life. Jackson turns 4 weeks tomorrow, so we're coming up on a month, and it hasn't really gotten any easier. So. Still not really sleeping, and it's nice to come down into my little dungeon and talk football with you.
Well, I'm happy to be here for that. I mean, I know for me, I talk to new dads like you, and I'm just like, I'm never having kids. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure at some point the wife will pressure it up and we'll do it, but I'm so nervous.
It's great. Once you get past that wall of being like sleep deprived for the first week, it really doesn't like affect you much anymore.
All right, I can handle that. Just a reminder before we really get started here, you can get a 30% discount to RotoViz Pass through the podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. We also have a Patreon account. RotoViz, obviously gives you the great 10 weekly podcasts during the NFL season. But if you go to patreon.com/RotovizRadio, you can become a patron for just $5 and get access to our new live show, which airs 11 a.m. on Sundays. I was just on it last week. I'll be on it again. I believe the next 2 weeks, we'll be answering all of your season-long questions. We'll be answering a couple of DFS questions if you have it. It's a really fun show. Definitely recommend that you subscribe and check it out. Before we get into week four, let's talk quickly about our thoughts from week three. Congrats to Tom Schrank, who's not related to Matt and I's best friend, John Schrank. Just literally has a brother named Tom. And we were like, does your brother play DraftKings? He was like, no. So, but he won our listener league last night, went with the full Rams onslaught, stacked Goff, Gurley, Woods, Kupp. Really good team, obviously. Rams were elite last week. And Jones, you got on the board in our three-man competition. Was the only person with the testicular fortitude to fade Corey Clement, which I recommended on the show, and then obviously cannot pull the trigger on because I'm soft. the results are now me too. You, Jones, have one win, and LaMarca is still sitting at zero. Yeah. You were also the only one of us three to play Tyler Boyd, which you really had to have last week, I feel like, to win in cash. Do you want to talk a little bit about your process, or do you want to just move on to the slate?
I do want to give a quick shout-out to Tom, because he's a bogey-free guy. He took down the Listener League in golf, I think, three times this past season. So he's a pretty sharp dude. I said it on the show, and I ended up stacking Cam and McCaffrey, and I benefited from that and Boyd, and I didn't make like the best decisions elsewhere, but those three just scored enough points to get me by sort of. So, I'll take it and, hopefully get another one, and the two of us can just keep LaMarca off the board all year.
Yeah. I mean, if we could play keep away with Matt, I would be very pleased with that.
I hope that's not why he isn't playing or he isn't recording tonight. I hope he's not upset.
he is live tilting the lack of three men wins protesting. But let's move on to week four, and we'll start out always with the quarterback position. No Patrick Mahomes this week. He plays on Monday night, which means that the position is really pretty wide open. Fantasy Labs has five quarterbacks projected to be 9 to 12% owned: Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan, and Andy Dalton. Do you have a preference here for cash games? And what about GPPs?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get the allure for Watson. I'll let you talk about it because you tweeted about it. But the Fuller thing is a real thing. If I can figure out how to pay for him in cash, I will. I think he's like the clearest play for me in cash. If I'm not going to pay down for somebody, I'll talk about in a few minutes. But I'll be stacking the rest of those guys that you mentioned in different orders throughout my GPP lineups. So I guess cash Watson and GPP, I'll spread it around.
Yeah, I mean, Watson is probably my favorite play in all formats. The Will Fuller effect is so, so real. We talked last week about the yards per attempt difference, but even if you look at the raw counting stats, Ian Harditz of the Action Network tweeted this morning, but you know, Watson hasn't had less than 225 passing yards or two passing touchdowns, in any of the six games that Fuller has played. He's averaging 311 pass yards and 3.3 passing touchdowns in those games and still averaging 37.5 yards on the ground. So, you know, real nuclear upside here. He is definitely going to be my cash game quarterback. I mean, the value, I think, at this point on DraftKings is pretty good already. We'll talk a little bit about where that is throughout the show. But I think it's only going to get better. I mean, we still have a few injuries that we're waiting to find out, conclusion on. So I think we'll only get more value here as the week goes on. So that means I'm going to just take the best play. And for me, that's Deshaun Watson. In tournaments, I would probably go with Andy Dalton next, just because of all the injuries the Falcons have on defense and Gio Bernard likely to start again at running back. But Watson is really the focal point for me this week. Any quarterbacks that you're considering for cash games that, you know, we didn't mention in that first group?
I mean, we got to talk about CJ the GOAT, right?
Yes. Yes, Matt. Talk about Beathard.
I can just like imagine LaMarca listening right now, like when he has to edit this and just being so pissed that he's not here to yell at us. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where if you can pay, what is he, $4,600? If you can pay that price for a quarterback and get like a decent, floor, he's limited work, like obviously a small sample size. But he performed like decently for what we need him to do at that price last year, right? So, like, why? I'm trying to pull it up. I'm just like word vomiting right now because
I have it if you want me to.
Okay, go for it. And then I'll see if it's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, in his five starts last year, he averaged 16.5 DK points. Fantasy Labs plus minus of 2.15, 60% consistency rating. Really good numbers. I mean, if you look at the game logs, the only real game that he struggled in was against Seattle, 9 DraftKings points. But other than that, you know, 26 against the Giants, 18 against the Cardinals, 13 against, I'm trying to remember who he played that week, and then 16 against Dallas. My screenshot's cut off, so I can't tell. It's great podcasting here. But I mean, Beathard is in a really, really good spot. And if you look at what Josh Allen did just a week ago against this Charger team, 2 weeks ago, 18 for 33 passing, 245 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 8 carries, 32 yards. You know, not a great performance, but that's still 15 DraftKings points. Right. I really, really struggle to see Beathard doing, you know, much worse than that, if worse at all. So a really safe floor, as you were saying, at 4,600.
Yeah, and I think this is what I was looking at, too. He, in his starts, or not only his starts, he appeared in 6 games. He averaged over 20 yards rushing and had a rushing TD in 3 of those 6 games. So you're definitely looking at a guy who has a little bit of an added floor. You know, he's not Russell Wilson running around, but he gets the job done and figures it out. So if I want to really go crazy in cash and like fit in all the expensive guys that we're going to talk about, I think using him and one of the like value running backs and one of the value wide receivers, you can fit like literally whatever you feel like doing. So it's definitely in play for me this week in cash.
Now, before we get to like a more general tournament thing, like would you play Beathard in a GPP?
I don't know that I really feel confident enough to stack him with somebody in particular. So that would sort of limit my desire to do that. I could see just like throwing him in with Goodwin or throwing him in with Kittle and having him in one lineup. But I think I'd rather just roll him like naked in cash if I'm going to play him.
That's fair. I think that if you were going to play him in tournaments, I kind of like stacking him with Matt Breida. Just because last year, when Beathard was playing, he targeted running backs on 35% of his pass attempts. Really, really high number. And Alfred Morris is really not the best pass catcher. I think that's putting it nicely.
That's fair to say.
So, I mean, we're talking about a guy who could potentially have a 30% target share. And, you know, along with being the NFL's rushing leader, I think that that's a potentially sharp combo. Let's talk GPPs, Matt. I mean, who are your favorite tournament plays on the board out of the guys again that, you know, we haven't already mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I was catching up on the Tatecast, the Davis Matic, when he had Hermsmeyer on, and they were talking about like if a team just decided to throw like 80% of the time, like what would happen? And I literally had a dream that Tom Brady like audibled out of every run play and threw for 6 touchdowns this weekend. So I think that that's a sign that maybe I should play like an angry Tom Brady who's going to be at home, and what they're implied for over 27 points. Like I could see this being like the, like just go ham game and just like embarrass Miami. So that makes some sense. I feel like I'll definitely have quite a bit of Aaron Rodgers again, because he is the most expensive quarterback on the slate, but we do have some value that I feel pretty comfortable fitting him in. And I mean, pretty much any of the quarterbacks, like when I talk about wide receivers later, whoever I talk about, like just plug in their quarterback in a stack for GPP, because that's kind of how I do it.
I love the premonition take, hashtag dream takes. Only the best here. I mean, for me, like Russell Wilson is going to be like 1% owned because he's been terrible so far. 5,600 on DraftKings. I mean, I think we can definitely make that happen. And obviously Aaron Rodgers. I mean, if someone's going to have like a 4 touchdown game with 280 passing yards, like it's probably going to be Aaron Rodgers, you know, like, it's kind of similar to what you were saying about Brady, where like he, not necessarily like the audible thing, but the high touchdown upside. You know, I think that the Packers are going to completely steamroll Buffalo.
Yeah.
And in those kinds of games, we know that Rodgers can score. So.
Right. What are you concerned about Andrew Luck? Like the whole didn't throw the Hail Mary. From what I was looking at, like T.Y. Hilton's A dot has gone down every week so far. Are you worried about him at all, or do you think he's a go?
I mean, I'm definitely worried about him. Like it just sucks because, you know, good luck was really good. You know, like I'm definitely worried. I mean, I think he's still really accurate. I think he's still really good and good enough to do well in fantasy. I mean, last week, I think the only reason they really lost that game and the only reason that Luck didn't have a good fantasy day was because receivers didn't catch the ball. Like,
right.
You know, certainly at some point you're going to need to stretch a defense vertically to have consistent, sustained production, but Luck is still talented enough, I think, to put up good numbers,
yeah.
You know, without that arm.
All right.
Before we move on, I just have to talk about Squad QL. I mean, if you want the unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league, you have to download Squad QL, the only mobile app. You need to crush your friends and rivals this year. Squad QL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, based on your bench players, and the free agent pool. You may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? Well, the app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual roster and your league scoring system. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week, and it's all based on your league settings. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season, whether you're a new dad or not. Head to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the league daily fantasy lineup optimizer, trusted by 100,000 DFS players. You can also download RotoQL for free for both Apple and Android. I mean, again, just take the work out of my hands. Just take it away. Just tell me who to play. Give me like 2-3 clicks on my phone. Get it in, and I don't have to worry about it all week. That's the kind of you know, mental equity we're gaining with SquadQL. So I definitely recommend that you guys download that. Let's move on to running back, where, I mean, Gio Bernard saw 12 carries and a whopping 9 targets last week without Joe Mixon. He gets the juicy matchup of the week against the Falcons, who have just been, you know, giving up points to running backs in the passing game in droves. Do you consider him to be the top value at the position this week at 6,300?
Yeah, I mean, he got 100% of the running back touches last week. Like,
is that a lot?
It's just about as much as you can handle, really. I mean, it's, what is it? Mark Walton is behind him, and that's like it, right? Yep. Like that, there's no competition there whatsoever. And we've obviously seen what pass catching running backs can do against this Atlanta defense. So I don't really see a situation where I'm going to end up fading him. Like Labs has him in like the 31 to 40% owned right now, which is pretty nuts.
Appropriate.
But I don't really know how you fade him, especially in cash. Like if you want to get cute in a GPP, I wouldn't be like mad at you, but I just don't think it's the right play. Like I think you need to have at least like match the field with Gio this week.
I'm positive that I will be getting too cute because that's just what I live for. But in cash, you have to play him.
Like, yeah.
You mentioned it. Deion Jones being injured in week one has really completely changed their defense. Cause we talked about this last week, their cover three, how they funnel it down to the running backs. But like with Jones being so rangy at middle linebacker, he allows those guys to be corralled, you know, pretty early and end up just getting like these high reception, like low yard games for these running backs. But, you know, with Jones out, the backup linebackers have not done nearly as good a job. So Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, those guys have gone nuts. And they're elite receivers out of the backfield. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. But Giovanni Bernard, very, very quietly, one of the game's best as well. Of all running backs since the year 2000 with at least 200 career targets, Gio is top 20 in yards per target. So really efficient. One of the best guys in the league at doing it. And I think we can expect a high target game, which we've been seeing every week. So love Gio. Definitely agree with you there. The other big injury this week was Rex Burkhead, injured reserve. He's out. I think we can both agree that Sony Michel probably stands to benefit the most in this injury. But how are you handling him? How are you handling James White? You know, what's kind of your strategy here with Patriot running backs this week?
I mean, it's kind of like playing whack-a-mole with me. Like, I feel like I'm always on the wrong side when I try to play New England. But just from like a sort of projection standpoint and thinking about the work that they'll probably get, I wouldn't feel terribly comfortable projecting one of them for a lot more work, I guess. And I think that if you're going to get James White at like half the ownership, that it's probably worth it to just play him in GPPs. And I would never feel comfortable playing either of them in cash. So that's probably my move. And I'm sure that means like Sony will catch like three touchdowns this week. But it is what it is. Like I can't make the case to play him at like twice the ownership when I don't really see that he's going to score twice the points.
I guess the math does check out on that. The second this news came out, I tweeted, it's always Sony. Like, I love Michelle this week. I know that there's concern, like, with the whole Patriots narrative, all that stuff, but let's just talk, you know, reality for a second. I mean, Sony Michelle was a first-round draft pick. They just lost Rex Burkhead, who's really the only guy that took carries for them. I mean, James White, as good as he is as a receiver, really doesn't carry the ball that much. So I kind of see Michelle being, like, a 15 to 20 carry running back in this spot, and the Patriots are 7-point home favorites. So I actually really like Michelle this week. I'm not sure I'm going to play him in cash because, again, we do have some other value throughout the slate that I think doesn't require him in your cash lineups. But certainly I think he's a good play, and I will have exposure to him one way or the other this weekend.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean,
it's probably right. Like I under no circumstance am I thinking that I'm right on this because I just never get this right.
I mean, here's my thing, like not to go too long on this, but like we just played Corey Clement for 4,300. Like this is a way better like snap expectation, carry expectation, touchdown expectation spot than it is at, you know, with Clement last week. And I think the Clement play was bad, but I certainly think that if we're going to play Corey Clement, we should play Sonny Michel.
Yep.
No Todd Gurley this week. You know, he plays tonight as we're recording this. So Alvin Kamara is kind of on his own as an elite running back in the pricing, the price tier. How are you approaching Kamara this week?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it before. Like maybe if I can play Beathard and I can, throw in a couple of these other values that we have, I would love to get up to him in cash. I don't really see myself doing that, but I wouldn't fault you if you tried to make a couple of, you know, 1v1s or 2v2s to get there. But you have to have exposure to him. Like the guy's just unreal. Definitely has, I think, the highest ceiling this week and probably the highest just like medium projection. So I would say that you should probably play him because he has like, I don't know, what do you have, 15 targets or something like ludicrous? like averaging. Like, it's just insane the amount of work that he gets. So I'll definitely have some of him in GPPs wherever I can fit him in.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what Kamara's target share is right now? I know it. I'm asking.
If I had to guess,
yeah,
I would say somewhere in the like 30s, high 30s.
30%.
30?
At running back. Like, yeah. That's what you get with Michael Thomas. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of it, he's the lead running back. So there's just like no way I'm fading him. Like, for me in cash, I think there's enough value to play him. And I think you just have to do it because the floor is just so, so high. The ceiling obviously is high as well. But I mean, the floor is really high. And the Giants linebackers stink. Like, they don't cover well. They haven't, they have almost never covered well, like, in my lifetime. So I'm totally playing Kamara this week. I know the price is high. But like, to me, like, he feels like a guy who, like, if you priced him at 10K, I might still play him because like he's just that valuable to the offense. Like, we'll see what happens next week when Ingram comes back. But until then, I mean, he is just such a huge part of this offense. I just can't take him out of my lineup.
Yeah.
Any other running backs you're considering in cash?
Oh man, this is a rough one for me. And I forgot I was gonna wear the jersey, even though this isn't a video show. I was going to do it for you, but...
Gokwan?
Nope. I think I may have to play some Marshawn Lynch.
Wow.
I told you it was going to be hot.
Is he running through motherfuckers' faces this weekend?
Oh, real quick, did you see the video of him like trying like the British slang terms are?
No, but I have to
find it on Twitter. It's one of the funniest things I've seen in a while. But... as much as we want to like kind of crap on Gruden and he deserves like every bit of it, it's a pretty predictable workload that Marshawn's getting. And he's had 14 red zone opportunities through the first three games, which is something that I think is, you know, noteworthy. And he's like in the 4,000s. He's 4,800. Like, I would not be shocked if he at least punched in a touchdown this week. And he doesn't need to do a heck of a lot more to get there. And they're playing Cleveland. They're at home. I just think this is an interesting, I don't know. I'm probably overthinking it and it'll probably blow up in my face. But well, I'll talk a little bit about him more later. But outside of him, I also think that if you're not going to pay up all the way for Kamara, I think that Melvin Gordon has a similar ceiling and maybe a little bit of a lower like median projection, but pretty close. They're favored by 10.5 right now. Like, they're implied for more points than the Saints are. So I think I wouldn't really fault you if you want to save $1,300 and get a guy in a similar situation at home.
At home. The money Lynch thing didn't even cross my mind. I'm gonna have to really dig into that.
This is what happens when I write this article now for RotoViz, and I was like, I don't really want to play anybody in Oakland. And then I was looking and I was like, holy crap. I was like, maybe Marshawn Lynch could be a thing. So we'll see. I might have to just roll him in the three man now just because I said this. But yes,
I love when you're verbally obligated to make plays in the three man. The guy that I'm looking at in cash, and I think this is why I'm not playing Sonny Michel, is I just think this is like a nut spot for Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, the Cowboys are still a top six run blocking offensive line this year. Detroit bottom six, according to PFF. They're 30th in adjusted line yards allowed this year, according to Football Outsiders. I mean, their defensive line and overall front seven is just very, very stinky. We know that Dallas wants to run the football. We know that they want to lean on Ezekiel Elliott when they can. And this seems like the right matchup to do it. I mean, Dallas is a 3-point home favorite. Detroit is coming off an emotional victory against New England. Kind of think this is a letdown spot for them. So I expect Dallas to kind of grind them on the ground. And Zeke is very quietly averaging 6 targets a game as well to start the year. Obviously a career high for him. So I really like Zeke. He's all the way down at 7,700. And I think that a good argument can be made that he should be priced like closer to like 8,500. So I really like that spot for him this week.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And I wrote him up too. The Lions have already given up 2 running backs who have scored 20 plus points on them through the first couple of weeks. So it definitely makes sense.
Yep. What about in tournaments? Who are your favorite plays there?
Another like guy that's sort of on the cheaper end that I like is Kerryon Johnson. I think that he's obviously the price is cheap enough that he is still in play, even though he's sort of in like this weird like three-headed running back committee. I think he's cheap enough that that doesn't really matter, and I think it's not going to be long before he is sort of taking over. It's pretty obvious that when Theo Riddick is on the field, they're going to throw, and it's very obvious that they're going to run when Blunt is on the field. But Kerryon Johnson kind of does a little bit of both, which I think is going to help Detroit like in real life football too. And I think his workload is just going to keep going up. So he had 19 opportunities last week. I'm definitely going to play a bit of him. It appears that Devontae Freeman, I believe, is still going to miss this week, which means that Tevin Coleman is in play for me. And I'll probably have a little bit of Saquon as well.
Nice. Yeah, I think you got to have some Say-Goat, yeah. Some Say-Quad. The puns don't get better, by the way. I mean, I am obviously going to continue to roll Lamar Miller until it kills me at 5,000 as like a full-time running back in a good matchup. So I will continue to lose money on that. And I mean, I think the pool for me this week is honestly going to be pretty tight. I think Deion Lewis at 4,400 with Marcus Mariota back is a good play. And kind of the one thing I'm waiting on right now is that Chris Carson has, you know, been limited in practice, missed practice. I want to see if he plays, because if he doesn't, you know, I think we can fire up Rashad Penny. The one guy that that I love, and I just think I'm just going to keep playing him until the huge game happens, is David Johnson. He's all the way down at 6,600 now, still seeing over 70% of the rush attempts, still seeing a 17% target share. The big thing for them is the pace, but Seattle is actually one of the higher pace teams in the league. So I think that this is going to force the Cardinals to run some more plays. And with Josh Rosen in the lineup, you know, maybe that gives them a little bit better offensive stability.
Yeah.
It gives DJ some better scoring opportunities. I mean, if you before the season said at some point this year, David Johnson would be 6,600, like I wouldn't have believed you. So I'm certainly going to play him now.
Yeah. And the fact that he's right next to Gio, who is going to be like the Uber chalk,
right,
means that even people who might have played DJ this week are probably going to end up going elsewhere and play Gio. So I definitely like that in tournaments for sure.
Now, Matt, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. But the truth is, I don't really know who's going to win. And if you listen to the Line the Points podcast, you probably know that. But if you think you know, you should first of all email Matt so you can get a better co-host. But also, you got to check out my bookie. I mean, remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. So I always remember, I always tell people to bet with my bookie. Trust me, they are the best, and they are the best bet you can make this season. They've been in business for years, have great online reviews, and their mobile site is very easy to use. And if you're a bettor like me, you make 90% of your bets on the go, and or like just from my couch. Like, you know, I'm hanging out with the wife, trying to get a bet in. You know, I don't want to walk all the way to my computer and interrupt like us time, right? I'm just going to hop on the phone quick, get a quick bet in. No one has to know. And I can win or lose some money. So I would definitely recommend that you check out my bookie. When you win, they pay, and they pay fast without any hassles. In-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points, which I think if you listen to this podcast, you definitely want to get a piece of, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. My bookie is slammed with new bettors right now, and they want to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. That's right. Just wait till after 7 p.m. and you get an extra $25 free play. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar as well. Just use promo code ROTOVIZ to activate this special offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use the promo code ROTOVIZ when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And again, if you're waiting to hold out until after 7 p.m., you eat dinner, you say, you know what, I'm gonna hold off till after dinner to make my deposit. You can get an extra $25 of free play, but just using promo code ROTOVIZ25. So it's ROTOVIZ, the same promo code you use to get matched dollar for dollar, every dollar, up to $1,000. Just add 25 to that at the end, and you will get an additional $25 free play if you deposit after 7 p.m. It's up to you guys. I'd wait and take the extra money. But just remember, that you want to bet at the place where you play, you win, and you get paid. That's mybookie.ag. Now, Matt, let's move on to wide receivers, where, I think that this is where we're going to save a lot of money this week, at least in my initial research. I'm going to be curious to see what you think. But three of the receivers who figure to be the highest owned are all playing in the same game. That's our Giants against the Fighting Saints. Michael Thomas, OBJ, and Sterling Shepard, all projected to be highly owned this week. What are you doing with these three guys?
I mean, it's the worst. Like, how can you not play any of these guys? Like, Shepard is obviously in play in cash. Like, we saw what Calvin Ridley did to New Orleans last week. Shepard's 4,900. Ingram is out. Like, all of these things are pointing to a great game from Shepard, hopefully. Both from my actual fan perspective as well as the DFS side of things. You have to find a way to get Thomas and Beckham in. Like, the numbers are insane with Thomas this year, to the point where I checked like three different sites when I was writing my article this week, just to make sure like the numbers were correct. Like, he has 38 catches on 40 targets.
That's pretty good.
And it's not like it's Jarvis Landry in Miami targets, right? Like, they're legitimate targets. So I definitely think that you have to find a way to get Thomas in. Beckham came out today and said that he's been a little hesitant on the ankle to really push things, and he's starting to feel better. And that may be narrative street and whatever else. But I do think that that every week we're going to see him get a little bit better, and hopefully Eli can stay upright long enough to get him the ball. So I can't really imagine fading any of these guys. But do you think that anybody's fade worthy in this little grouping?
I kind of think you can fade Michael Thomas. I mean, I wouldn't go nuts about it. I wouldn't have like 0%. I mean, maybe I will, because I'm a gambler. But like, the thing with like these high priced receivers is that, you know, when they bust, it really hurts you. Like the high priced running backs, if you just look at the trends tool at Fantasy Labs, not that I'm biased or anything towards that, but if you look at the trends tool, high priced wide receivers on DraftKings who are chalk, actually have a negative plus minus, negative 1.46, which doesn't necessarily mean that we're not good at identifying the best plays, because we are when they're lower priced, but I think it just speaks to the variability at the wide receiver position. And, you know, when I look at the Giants team, like, I still think that they have decent corners. I know that Thomas is heavily targeted overall in this offense, but last week he saw a little bit less market share with, you know, a couple of these other guys healthy and in the lineup. I'm just not really sure that I want to have, you know, major exposure to Thomas. I think it's really likely that, not likely, but I think it's very possible that, you know, the Saints can score a lot of points without him. So I think if I was going to fade one of these guys, it would be Thomas. In terms of like cash, I think Shepard is obviously the best play, just because he is super cheap, you know, under 5K. And if we again look at the trends tool, chalk wide receivers on DraftKings who are cheap, which I defined as up to $5,000, plus minus of 4.07. So I think we can definitely expect a good game from Shepard. He's projected to be highly owned. I definitely like him. Two of the other guys who had big week threes and still remain, you know, pretty affordable: Tyler Boyd, Calvin Ridley. Can they repeat their week four, their success here, week four, Matt?
I mean, I don't think Ridley scores three touchdowns again, but
gasp.
I mean, I do kind of think that, I mean, I don't know if we'll get 130 yards out of him, but I do think that the way that Boyd is producing is like relatively sustainable. And they're looking to him in the red zone a little bit. He seems to be gaining the trust of Dalton and blah, 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 whatever. So I really do like Boyd quite a bit. It wouldn't shock me if Ridley continues to ascend, and if he sort of becomes the touchdown guy that will tilt like Julio owners in season long even more. I guess that's just like what's going to end up happening most likely. So yeah, maybe not to the same level, but I do think both of them are ascending in their offenses and are gaining the trust of, you know, a couple of young wide receivers gaining the trust of their veteran quarterbacks is typically a good thing. So why not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to fade Ridley. probably completely. I'm not going to have any this weekend. I just don't buy it just yet. I mean, obviously the multi-touchdown game, I think, makes it likely that he's overowned. So, like, even if I really like the player, like, I'm likely to fade them after a 3-touchdown game. And, like, really, I think like, kind of like the whole Falcon offense has just been really overperforming the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
I don't really expect that to continue. You know, Mo Sanu is still there. He's still seeing more targets this year. I'm just not really sure I want 100% buy in on Ridley just yet. I agree with you on Boyd. I mean, the low A-dot player who's targeted in the red zone is really valuable on DraftKings, where you get, you know, the full point bonus for a catch. I really like Boyd. Definitely still playable. You know, let's talk about, like, just some other cash game plays. I mean, one play that I've noticed that I think is going to be somewhat popular is Antonio Callaway. What do you think of him? He's 4,300 on DraftKings this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. Like, I don't know. I'm having a hard time getting there personally. There are some other guys that I prefer over him. And I just I don't know, man. I'm a little worried about that. I much prefer, not that it should, that it's not a hot take, but like, I much prefer Landry over Callaway.
Sure.
So I don't know that I'm really going to go in that direction. What are you thinking for Callaway? Are you buying in?
I mean, he had 10 targets last week, but he only hauled in two of them. So right. Four of them, which four. Not a great percentage. No. And I don't think we necessarily need him this week. I really like the 4K range. You know, I'll let you talk about it first, but I think there's a lot of really strong cash game plays, you know, in this area of the salary chart. You know, who are some guys you're targeting in cash?
Yeah, if you're going maybe not in the 4K range, but a little bit higher, I really like Allen Robinson. I'm just going to continue going down that path. He's ninth in red zone targets, 14th in air yards, and 10th in Whopper right now, which we talked about last week. And Tampa Bay is just awful, like legitimately awful secondary. They've had six guys drop double digit points on them already this year. And it's, they've only played three games. So that's not a great number. If for some reason this Keenan Allen thing is actually a concern, he wasn't seen at practice today. I think Mike Williams for 4,500 becomes pretty interesting too. Do you think I'm an insane person for that?
I would probably rather play Tyrell Williams for $800 less, but I think Mike Williams is certainly playable. I mean, he seems like the boy for Rivers right now in the red zone, which is, yeah. You know, obviously super valuable. So I definitely don't hate the play. I am just a Tyrell Williams stan. So.
Yeah, and I think I could probably get along with Williams, Tyrell, meaning Tyrell Williams, in GPPs for sure. But I just think Mike Williams is priced a little higher for that very reason. I think he's a little safer, and I think he has a higher ceiling with the red zone usage. So that all depends on Keenan, though. Like, if Keenan becomes a full participant, then I'm definitely not rolling them in cash. So
100% agree with that statement. A couple of other guys that I'm looking at, I mentioned Shepard before, but Quincy Enunwa, 4,300. I know it's on the road. I know it's in Jacksonville, but I mean, the guy is one of only 11 players this year to command a 30% target share of his offense. Enunwa has clearly been the favorite target of Sam Darnold. And like, Enunwa plays out of the slot. So, like, he's not going to see,
right.
He's not going to see Jalen Ramsey. He's not really going to even see, their other stud corner in AJ Bouye. I think he's going to see a lot of Tyler Patman, who is, you know, pretty unproven. And I don't think it takes a lot of imagination to imagine him being the third best corner in Jacksonville. So like, when you have like the best guys playing on the boundary, that obviously funnels targets inside naturally. And when that's kind of where Darnold prefers to go anyway, I think it's really easy to see Enunwa at least having a high catch game. Yeah. Like, the thing is, like, at 4,300, like, six catches for 60 yards and he's there, you know, like, I think he's really, really palatable in cash this week. And I will probably have him there.
Yeah. I like that. I like that too. I wrote him up this week. He's averaging 10 targets. Like, what could possibly go wrong at his price with, you know, assuming 10 targets. I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Nothing can go wrong when playing Jets. We know that. Who are some of your favorite GPP flyers this week?
I think that Corey Davis makes some sense.
Yeah, let's keep rolling with Corey Davis.
I know. I'm like, I actually mentioned you in my article this week when I wrote about Corey Davis.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Corey Davis makes sense. 5,300 has a pretty decent floor with hopefully with Mariota coming back. I think Larry Fitzgerald makes some sense at his price as well. He'll be pretty low owned. And I'm probably just going to keep playing Chris Hogan until like I can't afford rent anymore, because apparently, like, it's just never going to be a thing apparently. But I don't know. I don't know how you don't play him. I just, like I said, I'm like very, very fully in on New England this week. So I'm definitely going to have him in some stacks.
I can't wait till Jackson is like in like high school and you're showing him like old pictures and you're like, "Dad, like how come all these pictures of my baby are like in different houses?" And it's like, "Oh, Daddy played Chris Hogan too much when you were born." I mean, I obviously don't want that to happen to you, but I just feel like that's like a really...
I see it. It's very possible at this rate.
definitely agree with all the guys that you mentioned. The one guy that you didn't mention that I really like this week is Taylor Gabriel, 3,900. Tampa Bay Bucks have just been complete sieves on defense. They give it up deep. They give it up short. They give it up pretty much any way that you can defensively. And Anthony Miller is hurt. Out this week, already ruled out. So Gabriel's going to see an uptick in targets. He is a big play threat. I mean, we saw this when he was with Atlanta. So, I mean, only at 3,900, he's a high variance player. So he's not really a cash option per se. I mean, I don't think if you played him in cash, it would be the worst play. But I think we've named enough guys where you don't necessarily need him. But in tournaments, he's going to be a focal point for me. I really like his upside.
Also, I think that the couple of Packers wide receivers make a little bit of sense.
Sure.
This week as well. They're playing Buffalo. And as surprising as the Buffalo win was last week, like, Adam Thielen still got his. And he sort of works in the same parts of the field that Devontae Adams does. They have the exact same ADOT, which is exactly where the Bills have been sort of exposed this year. From like 10 yards and shorter, it seems like the Bills give up a lot more PPR points than they should be compared to league average. So Randall Cobb makes sense at 5,100, and Adams makes some sense at 7,800 too. So I'll have them in GPPs as well.
I absolutely love it, Matt. Now, we talked about the Listener League champ before. Like, are we going to keep it at 30 people this week, you think?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so we're going to keep it at 30 people this week. You guys should definitely come still play. I mean, you're basically playing rake-free because the two Matts and I are in it. I mean, it's just a complete no-brainer to get your money in. $5 per person. Going to pay out, top five spots, I think? Top three spots. Yeah, top five spots. And just check us out on Twitter. I mean, our Twitter feeds, you're going to have the link. You want to get in. You want to take our money. You want to take everybody else's money. And you want to, I mean, listen, I think at this point, honestly, like, forget us. Like, I think people should be trying to beat Tom. Like, three-time champ of the Bogey Free Listener League and, 50% champ of ours. Like, that's just, that is quality. So get in that league and let's have some fun. And let's talk tight end. And obviously, as we do every week, we're going to start with Gronk. Will you be Gronking this week?
I mean, we've established our feelings on playing him in cash. Obviously, that's not going to be a thing that I do, but like, it wouldn't shock me if he caught two touchdowns this week. He's significantly, well, I don't know. Is 800 bucks like significant? I think it kind of is. He's significantly more than Ertz, who is also significantly more than the next guy. So,
4,500 for the next price tight end.
Yeah, which is a pretty significant gap. Obviously, Kelsey isn't on the slate this week, the main slate at least this week. So I think Gronk will get some ownership. Labs has him like 17-20% right now, which I think is right. But in cash, I will definitely be going elsewhere.
I mean, I obviously agree. I mean, I even think this is really a good Gronk spot. He is traditionally struggled. Struggled probably isn't even the word, but he has frequently like not produced in games where the Patriots are big favorites. If you just look in the, I'm going to say this again, Fantasy Life Trends tool, check it out, free of charge. But if you look at the Fantasy Labs Trends tool, I mean, since 2014, Gronk has an average plus minus of negative 2.52 in games where the Patriots have been a touchdown favorite or more. They're obviously a touchdown favorite this week. Miami, not a great defense against tight ends, but, you know, if Rashad Jones plays, certainly they're going to be productive, I would say, against that position. And like I mentioned before, I really think this is a Sony Michel spot. I'm not really sure that the Patriots are going to pass a ton. I kind of think they're going to stay behind their pads in the run. I think this is a week where they try to establish, you know, the other guys in the offense. Josh Gordon, please. You know, your boy Chris Hogan, Michel. I think that this is kind of like a get right week for them. Not necessarily sure that that's going to include Gronk. So I'm not really going to pay him at that price in any format. Eric Ebron returned to practice today. He's likely to be another popular option. Jack Doyle, still not practicing. Ian Ebron saw 11 targets last week without Doyle in the lineup. What are your thoughts on Ebron this week?
I mean, is there anything more frustrating than Eric Ebron's career so far?
There definitely is. I would say Jared Cook's career, who is like kind of the next guy that people like. But yes, very, very frustrating.
It's like he had four red zone targets last week and caught the same amount of footballs as I did last Sunday sitting on my couch. So that's a problem. He only had five catches for 33 yards on 11 targets. Like, that's an issue. Obviously, the volume is there, so you would think that it would sort of regress positively to the mean, but who the hell knows with him, honestly?
What's even his mean, right? Like,
right. Like, I don't think he has one. That's the issue. Like, it's, I don't know. A chalky Ebron just scares the hell out of me. Like, if he ends up beating me, I guess I'll just have to deal with it. I don't know that I can really go too heavily into him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a clear fade in tournaments, but I think in cash, like, you just have to keep rolling the volume. And we'll obviously continue to read the practice reports throughout the week. I mean, maybe Doyle gets in a limited practice tomorrow or Saturday, and, you know, or he makes the walkthrough, I should say, and all of a sudden, like, he's playing. Like, then we could definitely fade Eric Ebron. But I think that if Doyle's out, we have to just kind of keep taking our easily afflicted wounds there and play Ebron. Any other tight ends that you may be looking at in cash? Like, let's say Doyle plays, or, you know, for whatever reason, we just decide not to go with Ebron. Like, who are you looking at?
I think this is becoming, like, maybe I'm just going to play Austin Hooper every week at exactly $2,900 every single week and just deal with whatever the outcome is. Like, he has a decent, you know, it's not the best target, like, raw target numbers that he's going to see, but he's obviously a big body that can be used in the red zone. I would imagine that he's going to end the year with somewhere in the vicinity of, like, I don't know, I think like 6 to 8 touchdowns is reasonable, and he only has one so far. So I think that hopefully they can continue to use him in the red zone, and hopefully I'll be on him those weeks. I'm still a sucker for Ben Watson. It's not going to work for me this week either, but I'll keep just banging that drum. And then obviously you mentioned him already, Jared Cook. He had 5 targets last week, all of them coming in the red zone, which I thought was a little bit, interesting. Didn't really do a heck of a lot with them though.
Huge shock that Jared Cook did not live up to expectation.
Or I'm sorry, he had 6 targets and 5 of them were in the red zone. He went 4 for 28 in the red zone and did not score a touchdown.
Woof.
How is it even, like, that doesn't even seem mathematically possible.
I mean, it's definitely hard to do.
Right? Like, to have almost 30 yards receiving within the red zone and not score a touchdown is pretty wild.
But I mean, I agree with a lot of the plays that you've mentioned. Hooper is just, like, he's been really good. Like, that's the one guy that I, like, genuinely like in that offense. And it's another reason why, like, I'm not super high on Ridley. Like, there's just a lot of guys there.
Yeah.
And Hooper is one of them. That total, by the way, is up to 53 now. It's, like, skyrocketing. So in high total games, I definitely like to target the tight ends. Not really anybody else to add here for me that you haven't mentioned. I mean, Hooper is probably like a 1% play right now, which is pretty crazy. I think the only other guy that I might consider is Dallas Goedert at 2,800, just because he's like the mega bargain play of the week.
Yeah.
And played a ton of snaps last week with Carson Wentz back, 55 out of 82 snaps, saw 7 targets, scored a touchdown. And obviously isn't going to be popular with a lot of these other plays on the board. So I think we can play some Goedert, or Goedert, if you will. Let's wrap things up with defense, Matt. I mean, the chalk defenses this week there's no one that's projected like over 16% on labs, but Green Bay is obviously the like quote unquote chalk, followed by the Chargers, who play the aforementioned CJ Beathard. You know, who do you like? Like, are you going to play either of those two defenses, or is there somebody else that you're looking at for cash?
I think I'll probably try to save a little bit. Not that like Green Bay at 3,500 isn't prohibitive. Right. Like it's not the worst thing in the world. The research that I did about defenses say like that's the sweet spot. Like definitely between 3,500 and 4,000. Favorites at home, all those things are like trending in the right direction for them. So maybe if I can find the salary, I'll end up on Green Bay and cash. But the Cardinals are actually projected to have the same number of sacks, which is something that I weigh pretty heavily. So I think that if I can't find a way to get Green Bay in, that I'll probably end up on Arizona a little bit in cash. And by a little bit, I mean I make one lineup, so 100%.
I mean, I think the Packers are going to just completely obliterate the Bills this week. Yeah. Like, just had a complete no doubter. Bills won their Super Bowl last week. I just don't see any way that Green Bay doesn't just spank them. I think that their defense is obviously a good play. I also like the Colts this week. I mean, I'm just always into the cheap defense at home in a matchup that I think will allow for a lot of sacks. Even with Deshaun Watson, like, I love Deshaun Watson this week. We talked about this before. I think he's going to do really well. But Houston gives up a ton of sacks, and that's going to drive, what we get out of our fantasy defense. And Watson has also thrown some picks. Like, he's going to throw for yards. He's going to throw for touchdowns. But I think that the picks and the sacks are absolutely going to be there. Watson's been sacked at least 3 times in every game so far. He's thrown at least one interception in every game so far. So I think that there's like a really, really nice floor there for the Colts all the way down at the bottom of the salary chart at 2,200.
Yeah, and I think I was trying to pull it up on Twitter now, but I can't find where the tweet was. But I'm pretty sure I read earlier that Deshaun Watson has been hit or hurried more than any other Texan quarterback through the first 3 games of a season.
Including David Carr,
which is saying something. If my reading comprehension is correct, then that's really kind of amazing.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy.
I got to find that. If I find it, I'll retweet it, and we can prove that it's a real thing that happened.
All right, cool. Any other defenses you're considering?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm just going from like sack projections, I think that. I don't know. I'm a big Baker guy, but maybe Oakland makes some sense. I think maybe they could figure out a way to like be a functioning football team. Chicago is always a pretty good bet with Mac to get like a strip sack and maybe take one back. And we don't really know, or unless I missed it, I'm pretty sure they're still being a little shady about who's actually starting this week. It looks like it's going to be Fitzpatrick, but either way, you can see Fitzpatrick or Winston throwing a pick or two, regardless of how well they're playing. So, that's probably all that I'll go for defenses this week.
All right, cool. I think that the rest of the defensive plays on the board like aren't great. Like I'm always looking at correlations. So like I'm definitely going to correlate like a 1% owned New England defense with Sony Michel. I'm probably going to have a little bit of Houston with Lamar Miller. You mentioned already Arizona, and I love DJ. So like I'm really just looking at the correlations for me. Like I love to do that in GPPs. And I think especially with like some of the popular defenses, like not being a defense that I would necessarily tag a running back with, like I'm not going to play like Aaron Jones this week. So I like getting the correlation in this week. I think that's going to be my hashtag move.
I think an interesting way to differentiate would be going like, and again, the article that I wrote, in the type of game that New England is probably going to end up being in, playing Brady and whichever running back you prefer with the defense is not a bad play either.
Ooh, interesting. All right. Yeah, I mean, and keep checking out Matt's article over at RotoViz. You know, done a really good job with that. Loads and loads and loads of content. How long does it take you to write, by the way?
Oh, it takes forever.
I was going to say, like,
this week, I think there's a couple teams on bye, and obviously I only do the main slate, and it still ended up being like 2,800 words.
Jeez, unbelievable. Well, let's talk Millie Maker Special. Who's your 1-2 ownership percent play? I mean, it could be a 5% owned guy, but preferably 1-2 owned percent that you like best for tournaments.
In the Millionaire Maker winning lineup, my friend Marshawn Lynch will be in it.
Wow. I love it.
That's it.
I think it's a great call. I'm just all because, like, and here's the thing, like, if you win with him, the memes will be endless.
Oh, yeah.
And I love a good meme, or may, as the kids sometimes say. I'm going to go back to Taylor Gabriel, who I mentioned before. Maybe not quite a 2% on play. I mean, I think it's possible. But I think sub 5%, given like a lot of the value that we have right now at receiver. Just really like the spot. I think that he's like a really realistic option. Like for a lot of these plays, like I kind of have to like, you don't have to like, it's not like bullshit, but like you have to like craft a scenario where like the guy goes off and it's like kind of hard to do sometimes. I feel as though this is like a legit good spot for Taylor Gabriel, and he's going to kind of go on overlooked because of all the injuries. I think especially if the Keenan Allen thing goes down and we get all these Chargers guys, like then Gabriel is like a legit 1% owned guy, and I will smash.
There you go.
All over that. Matt, who's your bold call this week?
All right. So it's a little bit, this is like the story that I'm telling myself, but it's from the
six touchdowns.
No, it's from the same. It's from the same game. Jarvis Landry, and I save this for the end, will be the highest scoring wide receiver on the slate.
I love it.
It's happening.
I love the scorching earth take. Wow. I don't even know how to really follow that up. I mean, what was mine last week, by the way? I can't even remember. Whatever. It doesn't matter. No one cares. My take sucks. But I'm going to go Ezekiel Elliott 30 burger this week.
Nice.
I think this is just a really good spot for him for all the reasons I mentioned before. I will be playing him in cash. I'll be playing him in tournaments. I love me some Zeke. So, nice. All right, Matt. I mean, great job. We obviously missed LaMarca this week, but I think we did a decent job without him.
Yeah, we kept it on the rails.
Yeah, kept it on the rails. I think that if Matt was here, he would shake his head a bunch and you know give us his thoughts. But listen, this is what happens when you miss the show. We get to say dumb things. So
yeah, just if you're listening to this, make sure you tweet your Beathard lineups to LaMarca on Sunday after lock.
I love it. That's gonna do it for this edition of On the Daily. Please be sure to subscribe to, rate, and review the show on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And check out our listener league. Try to take us down. For Matt, for LaMarca, who's not here, I'm Anthony Miko. Good luck this week.
Thank you for listening to On the Daily, the RotoViz Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, powered by RotoViz Radio. And special thanks to Randy E. Aguabo for the introduction. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email onthedailydfs@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @onthedailydfs.